In the book of Psalms, chapter 51, you're familiar with this passage. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold in me with thy free spirit." What a marvelous thought that is. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Wonderful, you're doing well. And cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore in me the joy of thy salvation, and create a right spirit within me. I think I speak for every one of us, that that's exactly what we like, what we want for God to do for us. To use His Holy Spirit to create in us a right spirit. Well, we had speaking for myself, we had a wonderful weekend last weekend as five men were placed in as elders of this congregation. It's a great privilege. I know that all of them, along with me, agree with that the idea of, well, serving is just sort of not only something that we look forward to or want to do, but also something that is an awesome kind of task. And if you've been in this congregation at any period of time, if you're one of those that I might, in the service, we call you a lifer. Have you been here a long time? Raise your hand. You've been here. Look, who's been here 30 years? Who's been here 40 years? Well, there's still some hands go up. You know that when leadership makes a change, that there's going to be some things that will emit out from that new leadership. And that's a good thing. That's what we're looking for, is that kind of thing that brings us to that. And that brought me to this this idea, if you will, from the book of Romans, which has so many vast, great things for us to learn from it. The 12th chapter and verses 1 and 2, to bring a lesson from there. And I'm going to admit to you that there's no way I'm going to get through a pile of notes I've got up here. And so I'm not going to even try to. And you said, amen. Now, I'm going to get through them some way. It may be another day. But I want to talk to us about being renewed. It is not a reflection on anyone or anybody in the past when we say, having placed new men into leadership roles, that we want to look for great renewal. That's not a reflection on something being wrong in the past. Quite the contrary. As a matter of fact, we wouldn't be doing this if it hadn't been for great leadership in the past. Amen. Good men who have led the congregation. When the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore I urge you," old King James says, "I beseech you, beg you. That's the Greek word. I beg you. Brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as living sacrifices. You know and I know that to the Jew, there was no such thing as a living sacrifice, at least in their immediate thought. Sacrifices were offered on an altar after they've been killed and placed there. That was what it was all about. It was a sacrificial business. But he says to us in this language to offer ourselves as living sacrifices that are holy, pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. King James, I think, says your reasonable service. We're talking about being changed and renewed. Now listen to what he says. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed. Not conform, but transformed. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I love to preach a series of lessons that I entitled When Life Doesn't Make Sense. And that really is true, isn't it? That a lot of times life doesn't make sense. Things happen in life and change you. And we have, life-altering situations that causes our lives to change. But when life doesn't make sense, I want to encourage you to remember that only in Jesus Christ is there great renewal. Only in Jesus Christ is there transformation. Now, when I first started preaching, Joe, I used to think it was my job to make sure everybody knew what was right. And I gave them as much information about that as I thought I could. I make no apology for that. That was a young man trying to do what he envisioned, what he heard as he grew up, as he listened to great Bible teachers explaining to them, us or those in the audience, about what the Bible teaches. And that is, of course, one of the jobs of a preacher to do. And in fact, Doug, one of the things we're going to study in our class on Sunday morning over in 2 Peter chapter 3, is he's going to say to him, now I want you to put the brethren in remembrance of all these things that we just said. And Paul tells that to Timothy all of the time. Put the brethren in remembrance. You'll be a good minister if you do that. You know why? Because you and me, we all have great forgetters. This is where you should have said amen. Because you forget. That's why somebody's made a fortune on post-it notes. Now, it hasn't helped my memory at all that I can think of in any way, Foy. I sometimes forget where I put the note to remind me what to do. How many of you have made a note to remind you to remember where you put the note to remind you to do the thing? And it gets ridiculous sometimes because we get so busy. But renewal is a marvelous concept. When Paul has written these things, he's already told them in the book of Romans about the need of the gospel of Christ. Isn't that right? I mean, because there's none righteous, no, not one, and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That doesn't exclude anybody. He includes everyone in that. So we know about the need, and he then begins to tell us about what the nature of the gospel is all about. And I don't think you can sum it up any better than what he does in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans over there, when he says, "There's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." I wouldn't say amen to this. I'd say hallelujah. Can I get a hallelujah from anybody? We don't say hallelujah a lot, do we? We'll say amen. That's all right. But hallelujah, that there is no condemnation, even though I have lived as I should be condemned. I am saved in Christ Jesus. And that ought to make you thrilled to be here today. In fact, I hope that when I get done, that you'll understand that this is a part of or a portion of what he's talking about when he's talking about renewal. Worship is a way of renewing yourself to your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ every Lord's Day. And that's why I'm glad we had our shots and we can get back together and be together as the body of Christ, so we can be renewed on the day of renewal, which is the first day of the week like we are today, and have the kind of experience that God designed for us. It's okay if you said hallelujah there. Marvelous things. The nature of the gospel. The nurture of the gospel as you read through the book of Romans. The things that he gets us to better understand. In the last 6 months, and in particular the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've just had a number of funerals, memorials. Those are life-altering events. There's been 8 of those in just since September. I can't begin to tell you the number of individuals. We just think about when someone passes on, that it's about the person who dies. I got news for you. It's not about them at all. It's about their families and everyone that knows them and that is affected by the passing of a loved one. Because it affects a very large range of people. Those are life-altering events. Since moving to Henderson, there have been 70 of those. When I think about the people that I've known as a gospel preacher from different places, I'll just say, since we've been in Texas, that's just 2 places, Jim, Huntsville and here, I get called to go do funerals from people that I knew in California. Why? Because it's a life-altering event, and they need renewal. They need this passage that is a simple passage that encourages us to be what God has called us to be. And the renewal concept is just filled, the Bible is filled with the idea of renewal. It's not just the idea of passing information over to you. That's helpful, but it needs to be information that is transformational. Not just informational, but transformational. Something that changes you and helps bring you back to the path that leads to God. You need that? I need that. You don't have to be, just because you're serving in the kingdom doesn't necessarily mean that you don't need renewal. We have things that happen in our lives that we need to be renewed about. Life events, they call for renewal. When you think about the prophets of old, the prophets of old were calling people back to God. I'm reminded of, Dustin, of the statement that Jesus makes over in the book of Matthew chapter 23. I think it's about verse 36 or 7, somewhere there. Go look it up, you'll find it. But he says, as he's overlooking Jerusalem, and it's close to his time, of course, of being crucified, and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you." How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen would gather her chicks underneath her wings, and you were not willing. I'm saying to us, brethren, I'm saying to us that we have a God who wants to see us succeed in living life today, whether that's a life during the COVID pandemic, or if it's a life just putting up with, well, think back of all of the different world wars or different things that have been difficult for Christians or people to live through. Even in the New Testament, Jesus is reminding the people of the ones that were sent to help them have renewal and to be brought back to God. When you think about the New Testament church, you read about an amazing, excited group of people, don't you? But if you read the book, you know that that fervor did not last. I think around 6 years ago, there was a tornado that came through town and caused our roof to leak. Spot over here, spot over there. It's life, isn't it? There hadn't been a tornado in Henderson for 56 years. The one came in 2015, right? Most of us all remember that. How would you categorize that? What is it that you remember about that? You know, was it the roofing and material blown off over on one side and the place all watermarked from rain that poured in? And I think it probably is not. I think you think about the people who lined up underneath the portico over by our fellowship hall, and the people of this congregation that gave food because disaster assistance showed up and we served 7,500 meals to this little community within about 2 weeks' time. Is that what you remember? If it isn't, I would hope that that's what you would remember. And that was renewal taking place, was it not? People who were in difficult times being taken care of as they should be by people who care about them. It was a wonderful experience, wasn't it? No, I don't mean that freight train tornado that came through. That was pretty horrifying. In fact, pretty scary. But the results of it was that God was shining through. And the community learned about God's goodness. In the book of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer tells us that a congregation, a church, needs renewal. In the third chapter, and at verse 12, the writer there says, "Take heed, both unto brethren at any time, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief." And that you might slip away or depart from the living God. He knew that. He knew that there would be a need for renewal. Later on in chapter 5, he's going to say to them, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one would teach you what are the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have become such as who are in need of milk and not strong meat." Have you ever been there? If you've been a Christian for any time at all, I think you've been there, where you have seen this in your life, where it's important for you to be able to be renewed. I love the book of Mark for the very purpose of its idea of talking about our need for renewal and how to bring ourselves back. In chapter 4, he says, "A number of times, behold and look, and a sower went forth to sow." And he tells us all about the great renewal process that God has for us, helping us to see that. A godly man that I was blessed to know, and I'm sure Jim and Donna knew them from the Sunset School of Preaching, Clyne Payton. He wrote a book several years ago, and I recommend that you read this book. It's entitled From Caves to Cathedrals. And it's an applicable story for us to learn from even today. Because he says in that book that America goes through stages in its religion. It begins with the person, the message, and then there becomes a movement, and then after the movement, there is a monument. And you can go around in our city or almost any city and you can see the results of places that started out as movements and are now monuments. If you go to Europe, you might be surprised to find that many of the great old buildings are nothing more now than just local shops, maybe even taverns, where at one time there were churches preaching the message of God. The need for renewal is prevalent in every generation. And I don't think that we are immune to it. I hope that you realize that it takes the idea of bringing men together, or people together, if you will, with ideas that help to move us forward rather than to try to stay or keep up with the standard thinking about what's going on. We need someone with a vision that keeps us moving. I like to think that's the kind of thing that is taking place right here at 402 South Main. I believe that's exactly why Jesus set into motion at the what we would might call the Last Supper, a way for us to be renewed every week. And that's what we do when we participate in this communion service. Now, I haven't even got to point one. I'm doing what I think is the right thing to do in laying some groundwork here. I like to think that's what we want to do here, what we are setting ourselves up to do here. And what greater time than when we have experienced a leadership change? I don't mean change for bad, I mean change for good. Change for good. I have several things I want to say about that. I'm going to begin with this. I don't know if I can. Maybe another 10 minutes, okay? I want to talk to you about your faith. Renewal is all about faith. Because Jesus said in Luke the 18th chapter and at verse 8, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man returns," or comes back, "will he find faith on the earth?" Now, I want you for a minute just to think a minute about our world. What are you thinking about our world? If Jesus were to come now, is he going to find faith? How are we doing in that department? The real question is how are you doing in that department? Are you going to be found with faith? You see, brethren, the church, the body of Christ, does not exist, cannot exist on what would be, I'm calling, this is my terminology, a borrowed faith. You remember in the 8th chapter of this book of Hebrews where it says, he's talking about the new covenant, of course, and he said, "If that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for a second." When Jesus came, he came into a group of people that had been given the opportunity to be called God's children, the Israelites. He gave them his law. He gave them the words of how to live. Now, I'm going to say to you that if there's any fault, which the Bible here is saying that there was a fault in it, of the Old Testament, it was not in what it was teaching. It was not its information. Because you see, God never lies. He always tells us the truth. And he did that under the Old Testament law. And he did that through his prophets and others who wrote. But the difference between what was called the old and now the new is the dynamic. Because the dynamic of the old was no match for the dynamic of the new. When the writer of Jeremiah, this is an old prophet coming out of the Old Testament, it says, "They will not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will know the Lord in their hearts." Now, I've been preaching a while, been studying a while. I'm still not sure I fully grasp the power of of that statement that Jeremiah is making. It's a promise that there will be a new covenant. I didn't read those verses. If you go, you'll get those words, that he's going to make a new covenant. And he's talking about through Jesus, of course. But this new covenant has a different dynamic. He's saying that the world knows me. The world will know me, even though they do not recognize me, even though they do not call me their God. And we've got a lot of descriptions of who God is these days. And I hope you're keeping your nose in this book, because if you want the right description of God, you're only going to find it here. It's not going to be in some philosophy about what some person thinks God is. It's going to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm getting wound up here. I'm thinking a little hallelujahs are due, because God is our God. He loves us, and He communicates to us. He did that by sending His Son, who died for us, so that we could have renewal every morning when we get up, knowing that today I have life in Christ. Not just, you know, whenever I'm living the right way, because truthfully, I'm never really living the right way, because I'm not righteous. I'm striving for righteousness. I want to put on Christ so I can appear in the sight of God as righteousness. But my carnal mind and body keeps me from doing it the way I should do it. And I need God to lift me up and renew me every day so I can be His child. That takes faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing is of the Word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of what I cannot see, what I don't see. My marvelous God who loves me and cares for me. What you had under the Old Testament law was you had a group of people that became a part of a covenant. You remember this? You remember when they became a part of the covenant? When they were 8 days old. What did you understand when you were 8 days old? See, this is what I mean about the dynamic. The Old Testament, you were born in, they just knew, they were God's people. It's just kind of like a what we call a little privilege. In fact, if you have a family of five kids, one of them's the baby, and I'm going to tell you that that baby is the child of privilege. It's because you've had the experience with the other kids. You know what fails. You know what is good. And the last one is the last one. And they're just, you know, we just kind of hang on to them. Am I right about this? I'm not making this up. This is human lives that we're talking about. We're all the same. But every child of God has the opportunity of being renewed to live for Him every day. They were taught to know the Lord. You know, the writer is saying that the fault is found in this dynamic, because in the new covenant, they are to be taught to know the Lord before they enter into a covenant. under the old. They became part of the covenant because they were born into it. Hey, that's not true. That's not completely unscriptural, is it? Isn't that what Jesus said to Nicodemus? Except a man be born again. But he didn't mean to enter into the mother's womb for a second time to be born. He meant to be born spiritually. I'm going to leave you with that, and I'm going to pick up the next time I get to preach, if the Lord lets me live that long, right about in this idea of being born again. Renewal. It's yours every day. It's yours every week when we come together and we find ourselves around the Lord's table. And we're remembering what He did for us and what He continues to do for us. And He cleanses me from my sin. And even though I'm not worthy of it, I am worthy in His sight because I am His child. I can sit at His table and I can be His child. I hope you'll be encouraged, and I hope you'll look forward. There's a lot more to come here, because there's a lot more sometimes that we miss. Hallelujah, you're a child of God. If you're here today and you're not, we encourage you, because we'll be glad to teach you the things you need, if you don't know them, to be the child of God. But don't put it off. Why would you go through this life and not be sure of what the real life, the second life, is all about? I hope you'll come today, if that's your case, to be buried in the waters of baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life, and have the Spirit of God in your life. I love you, and I want you to be saved. I want to see you in heaven. I want to have opportunity to be with you in heaven. And I know you do too.